Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. This Mary Griffith Show is brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. Also by Mug Sugar-Free Root Beer, which is my new favorite, although I got to have my Harvest Ridge in the morning for the caffeine. But then I switch to Mug, another Pepsi product, later in the day. I'm enjoying it every night before I go to bed. It's so fabulous. Laura Sievert is here from Arts Beat, as she is every Wednesday, from the Quincy Society of Fine Arts. And earlier I was taking my giant, enormous, strong, orange Illinois mug, and I was knocking and beating her Iowa Hawkeye coffee mug all around.
YWCA mug.
It is. It is a YWCA mug. But
doesn't even buy the branded merch, I'm telling you.
I'm too po'. I'm too po' to have branded merch. What are you talking about?
This one's straight from Kinnick Stadium, baby. I told Mary I was coming in today. This week, and I get it a lot, but more than any week in recent memory, I've bumped into a lot of you in the real world who are like, oh, I listen to you on Mary every single week. And so I just really appreciate it. We actually have data now to show that the Mary Griffith show is moving the needle out there, because in the 2 hours after I was on the show last week, we had something in the order of a 20% increase in the engagement on our survey. And I'm telling you, it's the Mary Griffith Show. So if you have not taken our Riverfront survey yet, I'm going to go ahead and bump it again, baby, right here.
Do it, because, again, what you want down there, what you don't want down there, is of critical interest to Laura, because they're trying to build a community consensus of what Quincy's Riverfront will look like. So, of course, we want you to have positive thoughts and try to, you know, be positive. But if you're like, well, I went to this one thing in another town and I didn't like it because, put that down too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing to know about this Riverfront survey, because folks have been asking me, you know, how is it different from any other, you know, strategic planning thing that we've ever done, right?
we do a lot of them, I must admit.
We do a lot of strategic planning, right? And all of them have called for Riverfront development, and all of them have called for this kind of a facility, but none of them have really put the meat on the bones of what the facility is. So this, the reason this is different, everybody, is we're putting $50,000 behind coming up with an actionable plan. That means actual plans on the, you know, where I could start with a shovel and go. And that's such a big step forward in the project. And we'll have, you know, drawings and renderings and the actual cost and the size that the community wants and the flexibility that the community wants, all on paper, because we can't go after the big dollars with, we'd like to have a theater. Instead, we have to have, no, we want this specific Riverfront amphitheater. We want this specific seating capacity. We want so many bathrooms that there's never a line, you know, things like that.
Which is two bathrooms for boys and 200 bathrooms for girls.
I mean, yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah.
That's on my survey.
I'm sorry. I mean, Title IX is great for equity, but it doesn't work in the bathroom world.
We're,
you got to build
behind
four bathrooms for every boy bathroom.
That's
maybe
right.
Five.
And some with, like, kid-friendly stalls, you know, all of those.
All those things. Two little potties next to each other.
And don't forget, if you fill out the survey and give us any of your opinions, and they are largely very positive, and people are excited about this idea, but if you choose to not, you can do it anonymously, or you can fill it out with your name. And if you fill it out with your name, you're entered to win 250 Chamber Bucks and an Arts Quincy membership, just as a thank you from us. So we're going through March 17th, but, you know, the sooner you get those in, the better. It's not a very long survey. We're just asking, where are you going now, and what would you really like to see down there? I can tell you we're also having really great stakeholder meetings. We're talking to people who already put on shows. We had a nice meeting with the guy who puts on the Gym City concerts. We're having some upcoming meetings with, you know, the symphony and the people who might put on arts shows. But overall, the thing that I come away with is we want a really versatile facility that you could put on, you know, 4th of July and Fishing for Freedom,
right,
and Bridge the Gap. And
not just, not just concerts or bands, but
yes,
think about a stage area that can do multiple things. And if you visited places, like, I have an idea from Memphis, Tennessee, that is brilliant, wouldn't cost anything. Well, I mean, a little bit, but, like, my husband could make it. I mean, it's so simplistic, but it's big. I mean, it's pretty big, but anyway. And then Little Rock, Arkansas, and Dubuque, Iowa.
I was going to say, if you look at the Quad Cities.
If you've been anywhere and you've seen something cool.
Yeah.
Even if it's not on the riverfront. I mean, it'd be nice if it's on the riverfront. But if you've seen something cool that some other city has done, you know, give us an idea of what you'd like to see, because this musical wooden musical instrument thing in Memphis is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And the kids all love to play it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really cost anything because it's made out of wood. So it's versatile.
Yeah.
You know?
We're definitely going to have, you know, a lot of public input and a lot of learning from what's working elsewhere. We're looking, we're having some actual in-person meetings with people from Decatur and Alton so that we can really get into, like, how'd you make this work? Because you're making they're making money on this. They're
but I want to say now, don't get mad at me, but Decatur has a head start because Warren Buffett's brother lives there, and he gives a lot of money to things. So, you know.
Well, they did. The Buffetts
built it. The Buffetts do a lot.
Well, right. But even so,
right.
People are coming and spending money there. So the Buffetts actually built the Decatur Amphitheater, which is the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater, which is pretty much what I'd like to see here, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a $6 million facility, and it's gorgeous, and it has lawn seating, and it has the flexibility I want to see in Quincy. But if Decatur has enough population and enough pull to get the right acts in, that they're selling the tickets, they sell out the season tickets within hours of putting them on sale every year.
And we could piggyback on that.
And we can piggyback
on
their
tours. The next day.
Right, right. So if Decatur, when you think about, it's hard to compare Quincy to Memphis, because Memphis is so much bigger than us. But we can certainly compare to Decatur, and we can certainly pull those people. And that's why this survey is so important, because I want to see, you know, what are you spending on tickets now? We actually were talking about sports coming in, right? Like, I go to an Iowa game, and I spend $400 on tickets for the three of us, right? Like, for myself and my two kids, or $500 with my husband to go to. You know, what are you spending to go out of town? What do you expect from a concert? And would you be really excited if we could see those same concerts here in Quincy for $50 or $60? You know, I think that there's a real hunger for it and an appetite for it, and you see it in the stuff that's already going on. So. But you're right. I mean, they winked it into existence there, but that doesn't mean it isn't standing on its own two feet. It's making something like $25 million in economic activity. The restaurateurs love it. The hoteliers
Everybody loves it. So here's the deal, folks. You know, again, answer the survey. Because don't say, well, we don't have that kind of money. We're not asking the city of Quincy to pony up the bill.
Right.
We're talking about having this thing ready so that if the Pritzker family or the Buffett family or the Sievert Heseltine family wants to give $6 million, it's ready to go. And don't laugh.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. Dolly Parton has so much money, she can't give it all away. She's working as hard as she can.
Yeah.
And she's giving away millions of dollars every week, and she cannot drain her pool.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, she's already given us money for the Imagination Library.
It is true that there are people who, even maybe not at that scale, like Buffett scale is kind of a hard thing to even imagine, but there are people out there.
But he's got ties to Illinois now.
Absolutely.
They've all got ties to Illinois.
They've all got ties. But most importantly, you know, I want to be able to compete. The thing that I think is most realistic is things like we got here at the History Museum on the Square. I mean, I got a $1.5 million grant to save that building and to upgrade that building because we had plans ready to go. So and those things are out there because of economic development, because of tourism dollars, because of actually marijuana dollars here in Illinois. You know, there's grant money out there. And I, for one, am tired of seeing it get...
See Willie Nelson in concert on the riverfront. Because you paid for him to get here with your marijuana dollars.
Telling,
I love you.
But I'm telling you, those dollars are there. And right now, if you look up where they go, they get sucked up by Chicago and the collar counties 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And I'm personally going after those dollars to bring them here. And so every time everybody's like, well, I don't want to pay for it with tax money. Well, you know, we'll have to have funding sources and all of those things.
Yeah, if we can get Chicago to voluntarily give it back, okay. But they're sucking it up, like you said, as big as they can.
Because nobody's going
after it. Because nobody's going after it. Laura Sievert's going after it. She's coming for it, and the state of Illinois wants to give it away.
That's true.
And whether you like that they're giving it away or not is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go to Quincy than to Schaumburg, like they need a help.
Absolutely.
So anyway.
So that's the
So
case.
Go and take the survey. Boost the Mary Griffith Show again with these outstanding numbers. Do this now.
Yeah.
And thank you, Laura. We are going to have to move on, but all these other things that you're going to promote are on your website, and they're not until a weekend from now anyway. So this survey was the most important thing.
Right. And I do want to talk about one more thing that has to do with funding while we're at it, though.
Of course
you do. Just one small thing.
Just when I tell you we're out of time. Go ahead.
Just real quickly, we did get word that one of our grants that supports our summer programs has been canceled by the federal government, which is Okay, oh, yeah. We knew
canceled
that might
by the federal government,
which is just, you know, part of what's going on right now. But if you are really supportive, as Mary Griffith is, of our summer program at Jackson Lincoln Pool, this is a fantastic time to step in and help. We're going to need to close a gap that I wasn't expecting to have to close. So if you are interested in helping with our Jackson Lincoln Pool events this summer that really serve a low-income community with completely free programming, we would love to have you on board as a member at Arts Quincy. You can get on to artsquincy.org. Anybody who donates at all this year gets entered to win a, you know, $3,000 amazing ring from Emerald City Jewelers. Have you seen it? Have you seen the picture yet?
It's like, beautiful.
It's like a 15-carat amethyst. It's gorgeous. So if you want to help out with this terrific
event.
You're
not eligible to win.
I already got one.
I know. I know. You are bulking up on the rings, I was going
to
say.
I love rings. It's my favorite thing. I like to bling a little bit. But you're entered to win if you do any donation. But more importantly, you help our summer event go forward as planned, because it's not very far away. June is not very far away, and my first one is then, and we were counting on a grant that we had been awarded. So love to have you be a part of it. ArtsQuincy.org.
ArtsQuincy.org. Thank you very much, Laura Sievert. And just for you, Laura, I'm playing this next Mary Griffith promo just for you. Polkit. We knew her as Denise Donnelly when she worked here at WTAD. If you'd like to hear Denise speak on use these words, not those words, how to express yourself better in the business setting, you can come and be my guest. And it'll be free of charge, your first meeting with the American Business Women's Association. Just show up at the Event Center on Hampshire Street in the 400 block, and we'd love to have you for the American Business Women's Association Thursday night at 5:30. Joining me now via the phone lines is Janine from the Silhouette Shop in Quincy. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. How are you today?
Well, we're great. You guys were so busy this morning selling bras and panties, you couldn't call, so we're having your ad on now. And one thing we want to talk about is a bra wardrobe. What do you mean by having a bra wardrobe? Isn't one good enough?
Oh, gosh, no, Mary. One's not good enough. By bra wardrobe, what we mean is you need a strapless bra for some of those dressy dresses. You need a sports bra for when you're working out, walking, or doing Pilates or yoga. And we really like to suggest the new EB bra, which is a comfort bra with substantial support.
Okay, you talk about the EB bra. Substantial support. Really, every woman needs support, even small-breasted women. Sometimes, you know, they don't realize if they're running or they're doing things too, they're stretching those muscles. They're not doing themselves a favor by not having a good support bra.
No, you're exactly right. And one of the things that we like about our EB bra is it has what's called the EB core, and it's an underwire without the underwire. I know that sounds kind of interesting. That's why we want you to come in and look at what we have to offer. But they are great bras with great support. You know, when a woman has a bra on, their breasts are supposed to sit in between their shoulder and their elbow. And so if your bra is supporting you, that's where it'll be.
If you're down by the wrist, you are not wearing any support at all, and you need to get to the Silhouette Shop immediately. And one thing we say about the Silhouette Shop, parking is so convenient. You're handicap accessible. You deal with very young women who are looking for their first support system. You'll deal with older women who have struggled their whole lives with misfitting bras. They've always bought them off the rack at a big box store. They've never had the fit that looks right. You've got it there at the Silhouette Shop, including the great parking.
Yes, we do. We have two really convenient spots right at our back door, and they can just walk in that door and walk down two steps. We have a lovely new hallway and walk right into the store, and then we have a handicapped accessible spot right in front of our building.
Okay, so there's no reason not to go. There is convenient parking. They just got back from the market in Chicago and Atlanta. They have Spanx. They have bra and panty sets. They have swimwear that has cup sizes. So there's everything you could possibly want at the Silhouette Shop. What hours are you open, please?
We are open Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 until 5. We're open Thursdays 9 until 6. Saturdays, 9 until 4, and Sarah and I are off on Sundays and Mondays at the shop.
That's right. Family-owned business, have to spend time with your kids and grandkids. We understand how that works. The Silhouette Shop, just north of 6th and Main on the promenade in Quincy. Thank you very much, Janine.
Thank you.
9:36, we'll be back to talk with our nurse practitioner who's waiting patiently. God, she's not charging me by the hour. We'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, and we'll be right back. And we are back, 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. I get no joy in making a member of the medical profession wait in my waiting room, although there is a little bit of, you know. But really, lately, I haven't had to wait. These doctors are getting better at this. Lori George is here, and you are going to talk about colorectal cancer awareness, very important for men and women. But first, let's learn about you. Tell us about yourself, please, and get right up to that microphone, because you're such a petite little thing. You got to speak up here on the Mary Griffith Show.
You got it. So I am a nurse practitioner at Blessing Hospital. I have been there 16 years. I started my career 16 years ago working in oncology, and I have a specialty in wound and ostomy care. So I knew when I was a nurse practitioner I wanted to work with our colorectal surgeon. It's such a prevalent disease, colon cancer, and one of the most preventable. And not only do we do that, we can definitely help navigate, prevent, and treat patients in a surgical and holistic way. And such a blessing to be able to work in this area and with my surgeon.
You have glossed over it, but I can tell by the twinkle in your eye. You have seen people really suffer.
Absolutely.
The ill effects of having colon cancer, which is very preventable and very treatable if caught early enough. And so you saw this in your early career, and while you love to help people after the fact, after they have the cancer, after they're suffering with the ill effects of the cancer, you probably like more the fact that you can help people by identifying, oh my gosh, you have the very earliest form of this. We can get this. And you never have to worry about dying from this. So awareness that this is not a death sentence, but you have to take the test. You have to be willing to see if you have it, and then you have to be willing to be treated. So what is colorectal cancer? I mean, it sounds like, Mary, how could you not know that? But, you know, I mean, what is that exactly?
Yeah, it's cancer that occurs within the colon and or the rectum. It's part of the large intestine. Often it starts as a small, benign growth called a polyp that, if left in place too long, will ultimately turn into colon cancer. And that's why we do the screenings.
Because I've had several of these colonoscopies.
Yes.
You know, the thing about it is the prep the day before, yes, that's kind of awful because, you know, you're going to be going to the bathroom a lot because you've got to have a completely clear system.
Yeah,
so that involves eliminating everything from your system. But as far as the exam itself, you're knocked out cold.
It's a quick 20-minute nap.
Yeah, you don't even know that it's happening. literally, you don't even know that it's happening. And so why are people so reluctant? Except, of course, that's a very private and personal part of your body. But it doesn't hurt.
No.
So what's the hang-up? You've heard people. What's the hang-up?
I have. I think it's just bringing more awareness to options. Because there are kits available that are non-invasive. Obviously, colonoscopy is the most comprehensive and provides direct visualization. But, you know, I think it's just reaching out to people and using this as a way and spreading the word that we can prevent this. I'd rather you get the colonoscopy and have 20 minutes in that position and the prep beforehand than to have full-blown colon cancer and have to deal with multiple treatments and surgery and chemotherapy. I just think that we need to make people more aware of how easy it can be. And Blessing is providing these screening kits. That's another option that is available.
That's in your own home, right?
Yeah, that's in your own home. Yeah.
Now, but how accurate is that, nurse practitioner Lori George?
So it is a test that detects DNA as well as small amount of hidden blood within the stool that you cannot see. It has a 95% sensitivity rate at detecting colon cancer. So what it does, it will detect colon cancer, but it also can detect precancerous polyps that are in a more advanced state. Either way, if they are testing positive, which we caught 86 since we've been doing this program in 2016. So those people...
You've caught 86 cancer cases. They were not symptomatic, because that's the other bad thing about
this.
You know, some people say, well, I'd know if I had it. Really? You can't look up your own butt. I mean, you don't know what, and it doesn't hurt.
Right.
There's no feeling in there.
Right.
I mean,
it hurts the pride more than
anything. Yeah.
But however, you're asleep, so.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing that fascinates me, because, and especially, I don't know why, but especially men seem to be very adverse to this.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just being...
And it's more prevalent in men, so it's more important that they get screened. And now it is occurring earlier. So
because of our diet.
Because of diet, because of lifestyle factors. I mean, 45 is the new screening age, because it's happening more and more in the younger population and in more advanced stages.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there listening, you're saying, 45, I'm 55. I'm 65, I'm 75, and I've never been screened for colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get screened, even if you just start with the home kit.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, a colonoscopy is not fun. I've had like 5, I think, in my life, because my dad died of colon cancer.
Oh,
typical.
Yeah.
Typical.
You get them every 5 years.
Yeah. Typical man.
Yeah.
My dad's idea of going to the doctor was the doctor wasn't there when he was born. So, you know, don't call one until he dies,
right,
you know,
right.
But, it's terrible. And, my dad, well, he finally said, I think I better go to the emergency room. Well, when my dad said that, we knew something serious was happening, but by then it was, I'll go into the story real quick, but they gave him an immediate 2 units of blood transfusion there in the ER,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly my gray-skinned father turned pink again.
Yeah.
And he had been losing all this blood because he had this raging cancer.
Yeah.
He had a mass the size of a softball in his colon. He didn't feel it. The reason he went to the hospital was because he was losing so much blood. He didn't realize that either.
Right.
There was no symptoms whatsoever.
No.
By that time, there was nothing they could do, blah, blah, blah. That's all she wrote. And he lived for about 6 months after the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I remember going through some anger issues.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, dang it. You could have done something about this.
Yeah.
So I immediately called and got an appointment. And I'll tell you, it took me a while.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, my father died on a Sunday night, and Monday I had my colonoscopy planned.
Wow.
And I went ahead and did it because I said, well, I knew Dad was going to die. I'm not in any more mourning today than I was yesterday or the day before, as he, in hospice care, slipped into oblivion because of colon cancer. So I went ahead and didn't cancel my appointment. I went ahead and did it.
Good for you.
And I continue to do it.
Yeah.
And even though, and they find polyps.
They do, yeah.
But they're not cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
But if you leave them in there long enough, they can turn cancerous.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the part that's hard for people to understand.
Right.
The polyp itself is nothing to be afraid of. It's not removing the polyp
exactly.
that is something to be afraid of. So talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, if we can have early detection and prevention with screening, with the kits or with colonoscopy, we can 100% prevent colon cancer if regularly screened. If you're high risk, obviously get screened. We can take off the colon polyps before they even have time to turn into cancer. It does take several years. Those at higher risk, it can take less years.
That's why you need to go regularly.
And
your doctor will advise you.
Yes,
your doctor may say, I don't need to see you in 7 years. I mean, it's not like 5 years you have to do it. Your doctor will advise you if you need to come back in 3 or if you can wait 7.
If you get a clear, you get a 10-year.
Yeah.
Unless there's
a history.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if you get clear at 85, you know, that's probably the end of it. You know, but then it's going to grow so slowly. And I guess this is a part I want people to understand, because I've had this in my family. My dad had no idea there was anything wrong with him. The symptoms were slight. Yes, he was getting older.
Mm-hmm.
His color wasn't good.
But there was not, there wasn't a whole bunch of blood in the stool. He wasn't having any trouble digesting his food. He wasn't in any pain. There was nothing, quote, wrong with him. And his life was cut short.
Yeah.
Now, he had Parkinson's too, so he was like, you know, I don't want to live anymore anyway.
Right.
But I guess the point I'm making is there's real anger issues from the survivors.
Yeah.
Because we're mad that you didn't do something about it.
Yeah.
And you can't really blame people because there's no way they're going to know they're sick. I mean, if you got a cold, you know you have a cold.
Right.
If you get a growth on your face, you might have skin cancer. You know, most people at least go and have it checked out. But you're not going to know you have colon cancer.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. But how can we get these tests? Because I know that Blessing Hospital is trying to distribute some of these things. So if you're like me and you've got the recalcitrant husband who had the appointment made and then talked to another guy and said, well, I've never had one. I wouldn't do it if I were you. That's good medical advice.
Yeah.
I'll call that guy when, you know, my husband needs to have his colon removed and he's wearing an ostomy bag. I'll call that guy and say, come over and change it because it was your great idea. You know, Lori George is like, that may be too much. But how can we get these kits?
Yeah, so Blessing has kits available at 11 of our locations around the region. They are available in 4 different health departments in Northeast Missouri and by mail. The other place that you can go is on our website. That's blessinghealth.org/colonmonth. Super simple, easy to use, tells you how to do it, and also how to send it back. We also have somebody analyze it and call you with the results. If you do have a positive, we do help you reconnect with healthcare providers and follow up as needed for those sort of things. So.
It's very important that you, you know, do this home test. Folks, if this is the least you're willing to do, please do it. Do the home test. Again, you know, it's private. People aren't going to know about it. You're going to get a call. And if there is a problem, you're going to, I mean, if you get a call and there's a problem, I would act on that. That's
absolutely
nothing to to take lightly. And one thing, and it changes, and now that I'm in the system, you know, I don't have to wait quite as long for an appointment because, you know, I'm more alert to it. But we know there's a shortage of medical practitioners in our area in general. Mm-hmm. And so this is why it's critical. I want you to be honest with us. If I'm listening to the Mary Griffith Show today and I say, you know, my husband and I need to do this, let's just do it. Let's plan together. We'll take the syrup on the same day. We'll go and
That's
have it
right.
done the same day, and our kids will drive us home from the hospital or the center where it's performed. What's the average wait time now for an appointment? Because there aren't a lot of people that do this procedure.
Yeah, I think the best way to get connected with that is either reach out to our office, which is colorectal surgery at Blessing Hospital. We do have GI departments as well and providers there. But the fastest way to get in, I would say, is go through your primary health care provider and
get
a
referral.
An urgent referral. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, they want to treat everybody. We often talk about this, you know, in the world of media communications and the medical field. If truly everybody in April went and got a skin cancer screening, you wouldn't be able to
Absolutely.
Handle it, you know.
Yeah.
If everybody today calls for a colorectal screening, they won't be able to handle it. Don't let that deter you. I'm merely saying that taking good care of your health means not delaying. And because this is a symptomless disease, at the age of 45, go ahead
right.
and get your first one. If you get a clean result, then you know everything's okay.
Yeah.
And why is it creeping downward? It used to be cancer was something old people got. Is it because of our diet? Are we
Honestly,
eating?
Yes.
You know, it's too much red meat, I know,
yep.
too much processed food.
You're correct.
So what things should we be kind of moderating, Lori George? What should we be doing to kind of help ourselves out? But
yeah.
again, hereditarily, I'm prone to it now.
Exactly. There
so,
are risk factors and genetic and inheritance type things, ethnicities, that put you more at higher risk. But
the all-pork diet, which my father was also on.
Right. Red meat, highly processed foods. Yes, exactly. Lack
of fiber. If it's made from a pig, Charlie wanted to
eat it. He loves his bacon.
He loved his pig, yeah.
Definitely sedentary lifestyles. obviously a lot of the processed foods. There is a lack of fiber in our diet consistently across the board as Americans. We are terrible about, you know, not having our fruits and veggies every day, getting 30 grams in. You know, we can be conscious about it, but the weekend comes, we're having wings and pizza, you know. So having more fiber consistently in your diet is key. Things about like gut microbiome, so like eliminating that overuse of antibiotics, and definitely the food situation and artificial sweeteners and all these preservatives. So.
Gee whiz, no wonder I'm a mess. But we have Dr. Brandon Breening, who's a local chiropractor, on once a month. And one thing he talks about, that gut biome, when you have to take antibiotics, which sometimes you do have to take antibiotics, the problem is it kills the good and the bad.
Sure does.
So you get rid of all the bad things in your system and you feel better. You recover, but all the good stuff's gone too.
Yeah.
So when people hear gut biome, you can't just go out and eat a carton of real cheap, crappy yogurt because it doesn't have any live probiotic in it.
Right.
Unfortunately, the stuff that builds the gut biome is stuff that sometimes doesn't taste so good, but if you can get if you can get a carton of it down or a few tablespoons of it down, think of it as medicine. I'm talking about real sauerkraut, real kimchi, real yogurt, which tastes
whole fat Greek
terrible.
Yogurt. Yes.
Whole fat Greek yogurt without the vanilla flavoring in it is black. But if you think about it
as
I'm taking 2 teaspoons of medicine and I'll do 2 teaspoons tomorrow and I'll, you know, I think that's part of it. We have to think of food as medicine.
We didn't
used to do that. Medical doctors never talked about diet.
Absolutely.
They just went in and cut things out. Like our colon was completely decimated,
true.
And so they just would cut it out.
Yeah.
And you did talk a little bit about treatments. And so I guess one of the ways we can scare people into getting a colonoscopy or getting a diagnosis with the at-home kit, which you can get from Blessing Hospital, is talk about what happens to you when you have colorectal cancer. Well, they have to cut it out.
Right. So earliest stages is confined to the colon or the rectum. Those are usually asymptomatic, like we had talked about. Those are about a 5-year survival rate is 90%. A lot of times we could just surgically take care of the cancer for you at that point. Now, once it gets to, you know, the more advanced stages where it's metastasized to other organs, such as the liver and the lung, your survival rate in a 5-year period is 14%. So it significantly goes down. Then there are a multitude of other people involved in that situation, chemotherapy, possible radiation, you know.
I think the ostomy bag is what scares people the most.
Yeah.
And so in some extreme measures, in order to try to save your life, they cut out so much of your colon that you have to kind of artificially use it as your defecation
that's
system.
That's right, yes.
And so that's not pleasant.
No.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. But if they have to have it.
But if they have to have it to save their life. But the point I guess we're trying to make is
if you don't have to have it,
if you think prepping for a colonoscopy is bad, you would never want to do that. You don't want a colostomy bag. And, you know, again, we're just trying to preach, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason I get this way is because I had it in my family, and I went through, I was so mad. Not right away when we found out he had it, because then I was like, oh, Daddy's going to die.
Right.
But 3 months later, because I was being forced to take better care. You know, I was being part of the caregiving team, and I was like, old man, this could have all been prevented.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to die of something, but it didn't have to be this. And so don't die of preventable cancer. Ladies, get your breast examined.
Yes.
Ladies, have your pap smear. Men, have your prostate examined. Men and women, get that colonoscopy. Get that colorectal exam. It's critical.
Exactly.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? You were so delightful.
Oh, thank you very much. No, I think it's what you said. I mean, the biggest thing I want people to know is get screened. Know the symptoms. Make sure that you adopt a healthy lifestyle because those cases are rising. Over the age of 50, more prevalent in 45, and awareness and early detection is the key.
Fiber.
Yes, that too.
And reduce processed food and drink enough water and get tested because, again, if you've got the gene for it, you can eat all the fiber you want. You still might get it. And this is one of the things about life.
Yeah.
My girlfriend died of lung cancer, never smoked a cigarette in her life. You know, sometimes it just happens.
Right.
So you can be the best person in the world, but you might get it, and you don't want it to metastasize. So get on the stick and get the colorectal screening from Blessing Hospital. Thank you very much.
Thank you.